Okay, good evening, everyone. We are going to continue with the halachos of waking up in the morning, but because of the events that happened today in Boston, by the Boston Marathon, I'm sure you all have heard what's been going on. So I was just maybe, with permission, if I would just keep the halacha section of tonight's shiur just a couple minutes shorter, so we could have a couple extra minutes to talk a little bit about the events that happened today. So just to start off with a few halachos, and then Bezaz Hashem, tomorrow night we'll finish off these halachos and we'll get to other important halachos. The procedure for washing Negavasar in the morning, as I'm sure many of you know, is you wash three times on each hand, right, left, right, left, right, left, and it's only in that manner that the Ruach Ra is removed. And it's brought down, the Paiskim tell us that a person should preferably take the cup in their right hand first. Now, to pour the water on your right hand first, of course, you need to be holding the cup in your left hand. So what you should do is take the cup in your right hand, since that's more chashiv, that's considered more special for the mitzvah, then transfer the cup to your left hand, and then you pour on the right, back and forth, three times. The Vilna Gaon, he did not do it three times on each hand, rather he did it four times on each hand. It's brought in the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Daled, and if that is your minig, I know my students in the Beis Yaakov, each year I've had a handful of girls that their minig and their family to do four times on each hand. If that's your minig, fantastic, then you should do that. There's a discussion on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av when a person needs to minimize washing their hands. Should they do the normal four times if that is their custom, or should they minimize it down to three on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av? The Chazon Ish says you are allowed to do it four times. Perhaps Rav Moshe Feinstein says you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to do it the regular three times. But that's in regards to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. But a regular morning you do three, or if your custom is to do four. Preferably you should wash up until your wrist. But b'di'evid, after the fact, if you do up until your knuckles, which means that the end of your fingers, where the fingers connect to the palm, then b'di'evid, it's okay if the water only got up until that point. Preferably, you should use a cup. Preferably, you should use a kli. However, it's not as important as by washing for bread, which are halachos that we haven't discussed. But preferably, when you wake up in the morning for Negavasar, a cup should be used. If you have a kli, definitely you should use it. As far as the plastic cup, it's discussed by the halachos of Netil Tzedayim, it's better to use not a plastic cup. And when I say a plastic cup, I mean a disposable plastic cup. Those Negavasar cups that are hard plastic, that are of course not disposable, that is fine 100% for using for Negavasar in the morning. But if a person does not have a cup whatsoever, let's say they're on an airplane, they don't have access to a cup, or they're traveling in the summer where they don't have access to a cup, so they have plenty of water, but they don't have a cup, so then you still need to have what we call koach gavra, which means human power. And that means that the water that is poured, that will, meaning I have plenty of water, but I have no cup. So the water that goes on my hands, right, left, needs to be each time from a koach gavra. This is a halacha in Kufnan Tes, Siv Tes. So that means that you can't just turn on the faucet and put your right hand underneath, and then your left hand, and then your right, and then your left, your right, and the left. That's not good enough. What you have to do is that you have to open and close the faucet six times. You open it, you put a right hand underneath, and you close it. Then you open it again and put your left hand underneath. Meaning you have to open and close the faucet six times if you don't have access to a cup. That's a case where you don't have access to a cup, but you do have access to water. My students asked me, what about an electronic eye? You know, sometimes if you're, you know, in a service area and you wake up in the morning and you're traveling on the road and you have a survey with an electronic eye, but you don't have a cup, so there's no faucet, so what do? So I would imagine, I looked up the halacha, and it seems as if clear that that would also be sufficient, meaning you stick your hand underneath and then the water comes out automatically, then you take it out and a couple seconds later it'll turn off, then you put the left and then the right and then the left six times or eight times if that's your custom. But those are what a person should do. It's important to know in such situations. It happens, and now what do? So it's good to know in advance that you open and close the faucet six times, or for the electronic eye, you put your right hand and your left hand back and forth six times or eight times. When you do use a kli, in a regular situation, when you do use a cup, it should hold a revias. And the smallest amount of a revias is, the smallest opinion is 3.3 ounces. So those little Dixie cups, meaning even besides the fact that they're plastic, what we said, b'di'evid, you can use a plastic cup, a disposable cup, but it shouldn't be those small Dixie cups, because those are not big enough to be a revias. So it should be the size of a revias. Okay, the other halachos, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to tomorrow night, but there's been a lot going on in general last week. I know a lot of people have approached me about it. There was talk on a certain radio show, a famous radio show, about Metzitza B'Peh, and against Metzitza B'Peh, of course, and against Bris Milah in general, and people even came over to me and they called me and they told me that maybe I should call up and I should send them an email, I should call up and say something, which of course I told them is not going to accomplish anything because such people, they're not even interested in listening to reason. So of course I didn't call them up or anything like that, or even just to back up, defend Bris Milah. I didn't feel anything would be accomplished, but definitely Bris Milah is under the knife, no pun intended, a lot these days. And of course, today being Heir, there's a lot of discussions about Eretz Yisrael and the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and without getting involved in the Yom HaAtzmaut discussions, but definitely we know that Eretz Yisrael is very special in our eyes. And there is a connection between Bris Milah and Eretz Yisrael. And you'll notice that Psukim and Lech Lecha say clearly that Hashem tells Avram Avinu that in the Schus of Bris Milah, then I will give the Eretz Yisrael to you and your children. And the Ramban asks a question. The Ramban and Lech Lecha asks that you find that Hashem says by numerous places that if you do this and this, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. It says by the Bris Bein Absarim, Hashem guarantees you'll get Eretz Yisrael, and then later again by Bris Milah, and earlier, four different times, Hashem promises Avram Avinu he'll give him Eretz Yisrael. And why is it in stages? And the Ramban says that Avram Avinu and for Klal Yisrael, they got Eretz Yisrael in stages. And he says that first was for Avram, then was for his children, and for Bris Milah, that was that even if, that's a guarantee, that even if Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, which of course we did, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we went into exile, we were in Golus, in the Schus of Bris Milah, then we will get Eretz Yisrael back in the future. Meaning by the Bris Milah, Avram got it for him and his children. But the fact that even once we go to Golus, that we'll get it return to Eretz Yisrael, that is only in the Schus of Eretz Yisrael, in the Schus of Bris Milah. And even though we have Eretz Yisrael is great, we have yeshivas, we have Beis Yaakovs and Koilas, and we have so many firm people, but we still daven for Eretz Yisrael, for Yerushalayim in the Shemona Esrei, of course, because we want it back. We want the Beis HaMikdash, we want the Avodah, we want to be in charge of Eretz Yisrael. And I was just talking to a lady this afternoon, an old neighbor of ours in Eretz Yisrael. I was talking to her on the phone, and I was asking how her sons are doing, which yeshivas they're in, and she was telling me that her sons were in yeshiva down south, and she said when the bombs were flying a while ago, she was so nervous, and they had a guarantee from Reb Chaim Kineski or Baron Leib Steinman that if they stay in the Beis Medrash, nothing's going to happen, and she was very nervous about what was going on. And we see today what happened in Boston, the terrible, terrible tragedy, what happened, and people died and people were injured and people lost limbs. And after a while, when I was watching and listening, I almost started to cry. I couldn't listen anymore, and it's such a terrible tragedy. And we mentioned a few weeks ago on this Hilchos Tefillah conference call the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that when the Mitzrim were drowning in the Yamsuf, so Bnei Yisrael was singing Shira, and Hashem had somewhat of a taina. Hashem was a little bit upset, and he said, my creations are drowning in the water, and you are singing Shira. And we said a very nice pshat from the Shlah, but definitely the Pasha pshat of the Gemara definitely is, it's clear from the Gemara over there, that when things happen to the Goyim, we shouldn't be happy, and we have to be sad for them. And this is a tragedy, and it's not, of course, on the magnitude of 9/11, of September 11th, Twin Towers, but this is something that's a tragedy that affects everybody. And this is really what we're lacking in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael goes through this all the time. You know, America sees a little bit, a tiny, tiny, tiny dose of what we need to go through, of what Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael need to go through day in and day out. And maybe at some points it's not as strong as others, but definitely this is something that we're scared of. And in the schus of Eretz Yisrael, in the schus of Bris Milah, and in the schus of in general keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, that Hashem told Avram Avinu that if you keep my mitzvahs, chukasai, mitzvahsai, v'sei rasai, that you will be zeicha to Eretz Yisrael, that is really what we want, that we want a secure Eretz Yisrael. And definitely there is what to celebrate about Eretz Yisrael at this time, and everyone has their customs to celebrate it, to not to celebrate it, to say hallel, not to say hallel, each one to their own, as long as they follow their Rabbanim and their Paiskim. But definitely we understand that we don't fully have Eretz Yisrael. And today, what happened in Boston, the terrible tragedy, at least as of an hour ago, that's the last time I heard the radio, they didn't know yet 100%, they didn't know at all who was the cause of it. Perhaps things have developed over the last hour, I do not know. But we're still searching for answers. And this shows us that we are still in Gullus, whether it's Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in America, wherever we are still in Gullus. And that's what we daven for. Uvnei Yisrael b'karav b'yameinu binyan oilam, that we should be back in Eretz Yisrael, fully with the Beis HaMikdash, serving Hashem. V'mehir b'yameinu, it should happen speedily in our days. Okay, everybody should have a good night.